Tyro Nights. What are you guys doing? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. My name is Jonathan. Happy Thursday. You know what? Before we get to the doom scroll, I want to throw this out there to my buddy Max back in the studio. He's a big sports fan. Max, do you believe that any sports are actually rigged?
Soccer. I think so.
Soccer?
Yeah.
Why do you think soccer is rigged? Like you're talking about like FIFA, or you just mean like individual like Premier Leagues and stuff, or what?
I think certain, because it's played all over, I think some matches are rigged by the ref around, not all in America and things like that, but I think it's the one that is probably the most easily to be rigged and things of that nature. And I say that because there is reports of like...
it happening?
Yeah, in England especially, back in the day, the mob used to have their referees and things like that.
Okay. I mean, soccer does seem like an easy one that could be rigged because the refs do have so much influence on the game. Like with, I mean, not only with the yellow cards, but, you red card somebody, get them kicked out of the entire game. And the coaches don't have that much influence on the game. It's a lot of what's going on in the field. I only ask that because I know that the Nuggets and Lakers are going back to L.A. It almost looks like the Nuggets are going to sweep the Lakers, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah,
I just don't see the league letting that happen. I'm pretty sure Scott Foster is going to probably be reffing one of those games, and it won't be allowed to happen. And that's where I think it is. I can buy that it's rigged. I've never once believed that any sport is rigged for anything but money and for ratings. Where I don't think that they necessarily lean on one team to win because they don't want to be that obvious about it. But I think that they will extend things. I mean, that's literally Scott Foster, the referee, his nickname is the extender. So that's where I believe it's rigged. I find that more believable in the NBA and MLB and NHL than I do in football. Football is a one-off. You're going to get the ratings no matter what.
Baseball, I could believe, though. You know,
yeah.
We still haven't got the robot ever seen us yet.
If you've ever seen a game umped by Angel Hernandez, it's almost impossible not to believe it.
Yeah, he just fell off the earth.
Yep. Well, he retired, didn't he?
No. There's no reason why he's not umping right now. It's kind of weird.
Oh, I thought that I thought he retired.
I haven't seen that report. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just heard that he fell off the face of the earth and was too happy to assume it was anything untoward. All right. Here's the first story in the doom scroll. Oscar Mayer is changing the name of the Wienermobile. It should show you the kind of people that I'm friends with that this story was sent to me four times today to talk about. So it's leading the doom scroll. It's been the Wienermobile, by the way, for 87 years. I had to look that up. I had to look up facts about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile today. 87 years. But that run is coming to an end. Oscar Mayer just announced that they're changing the name from the Wienermobile to the Frankmobile. Which sounds like it'd be Danny DeVito's car in... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something. It's not because people have a problem with the word wiener, they say. It's a marketing thing that I don't believe. The change is meant to promote a new recipe, which they're rolling out this summer. The new formula for their All Beef Franks will feature more balanced flavor profile, blah, 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 blah.
It would be better if it was like a German thing and it was the Frankmobile because of Frankfurter.
Well, it is called the Frankmobile.
Now. But if this was like a German only mobile, I would have got it.
Oh, because of mobile, yes. Yeah. It is the Frankmobile. It's always been the Frankmobile. Yeah. We called it that after when Germany started as a country in 1946. That's when we started. Nothing happened before then. I don't buy that this is about they're changing the recipe or whatever. I think it's 100% that they were tired of it being called the Wienermobile and people snickering at the idea of the Wienermobile and things like that. Companies do this all the time. They have somebody who's not really affiliated with the company come in and go, you know, I've always had a problem with the fact that we call it the Wienermobile. Sounds like something that would show up like, with a bunch of disco music playing and guys in cod pieces or something. Or, I don't know, maybe they feel like it's not inclusive enough, calling it the Wienermobile. So that's what I think it is. I don't think it has anything to do with their new recipe. Or if it's anything even more cynical than that, it's just to get people who are dumb enough, like me, to talk about it. That's why they do it. It's the new Coke with wieners and Franks. That's right. I'm going to ask this question. You guys can text in on the text line at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476, or just text the word Cairo. What are the most iconic cars? And I'm not talking about, like, commercial cars necessarily, but what are the most iconic cars from, like, movies and TV shows and things like that? Because I think that would actually be a good Elite Eight for us to tomorrow. Get the best eight best cars from movies and TV shows.
So not like the Volkswagen. 973.
No, like just the Volkswagen.
It has to be like Kit from Knight Rider.
Yes, Kit from Knight Rider, or like the original Batmobile from Wayne's World. Yes,
Adam
or
West.
Any Batmobile, really.
Yeah. The Adam West one's my favorite, and that's probably a hot take, but...
I like the one from Batman the Animated Series in the 90s because it looked seriously like a full on. No, I'm just saying it does. It's way too long in the front. it's all engine.
It's the reverse mullet of cars.
It really is, and it was gorgeous. And I had no idea why I liked it so much as a kid. It makes me question things about myself now. So we'll get to those texts in a minute. Second story in the Doom Scroll is this. People say that they're too tired to be healthy. We all know that it's not healthy to spend all night on the couch watching a two-hour episode of The Voice, eating pizza, guzzling Cokes, and maybe a not-yet-canceled light beer, Miller or Bud, I guess, are out. You have to go to Yingling or something. But that's all the energy we have now. In a new poll, 35% of adults say that they are too tired to live a healthy lifestyle, and young people are more zonked out than older folks. 48% of 25 to 34-year-olds say they are too exhausted, compared to 23% of people 55 years old or older. 40% of women are too tired versus 29% of men. So women are a lot more tired of life than men. So that's a fun thing to know. 38% of adults say they lack the motivation to be healthy. Other excuses include they don't have enough time, they don't have enough confidence, they don't have enough money for gym fees, which, come on, Planet Fitness is like $20 a month, and food prices. They say food prices, it's too expensive to eat healthy, which is actually kind of true. And I don't know why it's true, but it is. For some reason, when you remove all of the junk or you don't put it in the first place, that's more expensive. I don't know how not putting preservatives and not putting sugar into stuff somehow makes it more expensive, but that's how it is. I think the biggest problem is something that we were just talking about where Gen Zers and millennials were saying that they don't have time to have kids. They're working way too many jobs. They don't make enough money. It's the same thing here. They don't have time to exercise because you're between jobs. Unless you're fortunate enough to have a job where you can get some exercise, maybe you are lucky enough to, you know, be working in a coal mine, swinging a pickaxe, then maybe, just maybe, you can lose some weight that way. I lost 40 pounds last year, but you know what my secret was? I had a really easy job last year. I was doing morning radio, and I got to tell you, compared to talk, so much easier. Except for the waking up part. That was tough, but for the most part, my days were open. Wasn't spending all day looking for stories to talk to you guys about. I had producers and co-hosts who did that for me. I don't know. And I think at the end of the day, and I lost 40 pounds, and I have to say I've gained like 10 or 15 pounds back of it. I got down to near my goal weight, and people stopped being impressed by it. Like, I'd be like, "Hey, I'm almost at my goal weight," and they'd be like, "Yeah, John, you've been like you've not been a fat gross person for like 6 months. We get it. Stop thinking that you're better than you used to be." your personality still sucks. So, you know, that's the problem.
There is some truth behind that.
What, that my personality sucks?
No, but that once the shine from your new hot bod wears off, you're
just like, what's the point?
Yeah,
it's you know what it is? It's when you buy a new car. And like, yeah. I bought a nice new car, and I took pictures of it and would drive it around feeling real proud of myself. And now I'm just like, I see that car all the time now. Like, not my car specifically, but I see other cars like it on the road all the time. Like, big deal. Who cares? It's just another one of those stupid cars. Next story in the Doom Scroll is this. They're calling this the meanest Facebook scam ever. It's called the "Look Who Died, I Think You Knew Him" scam. So basically the way it works is if a friend DMs you and says that someone you know died with a link, don't click the link. And by the way, I guess, cynical enough that if somebody sent this to me, I wouldn't believe it, even if it was my own mother. Actually, especially if it was my own mother, because I know she wouldn't say, I think somebody that you know died. Look who died. I think you knew them, with a bunch of skull emojis and a link. Like, that immediately. Emojis in general, I find to be less trustworthy than a lot of other things, especially if it's an important thing. But that's how the message is sent. It has the skull emojis. So immediately, it's BS. It's a phishing scam to steal your info. For example, it might send you to a page that asks you to log into Facebook again, but you're actually giving that info to a scammer. So it's awful because it preys on your emotions, and you're more likely to panic and click the link without thinking. So if you get a message like that on social media, let your friend know that they've been hacked, but chances are, actually, they probably already know because all their friends got it too. I don't know. If you did this, though, other than the privacy and data stealing and all that stuff, would it be the worst thing in the world if your Facebook was destroyed? Would it be the worst thing in the world if you couldn't go on Facebook anymore?
I got rid of mine.
You got rid of yours? You were able to actually do it?
4 years ago.
I keep...
5 years ago?
I keep trying, and I just can't. Like, it's not that I don't go on it often. Like, I maybe check in on Facebook, like, once a week, just kind of scroll through, see what some people are doing, check messages and things like that. But I just can't totally get rid of it. It's the same thing with Twitter. I told myself when Elon Musk took over Twitter, I was like, I'm done with this. And I told myself when he, you know, got rid of check marks and you had to pay $8 a month for verification, that I'm like, I'm done with this. And the more messages I see on Twitter from right-wing lunatics like Elon Musk, the more I'm like, I don't think I want to be a part of this site. And yet, I have Twitter open in front of me right now.
That's the one I
can't. I don't know. You know why? Because I think this is why. For me, anyway, on Twitter, you can curate it to where you're following things that you actually care about. It's not just your friends and the dumb things that they're doing. Like, currently right now I have Seattle News open, and I just have a bunch of stations like Cairo and Cairo 7 and Como and Fox 13, and I just have them open, and I scroll through that during the day or during commercial breaks and just see if there's any new news or breaking stuff or whatever. I don't really have that option with Facebook. That's the only reason I think I stay on Twitter. For my job. So I'm just saying, I'm looking forward to being fired. To free me from Elon's evil grasp. Finally, last story that we're going to talk about in the Doom Scroll is this. A guy robbed a Goodwill. Which isn't the story, but the reason why he robbed the Goodwill is something that you need to hear. Man in Indiana broke into a Goodwill store last Saturday evening and just started grabbing stuff. Someone saw him hopping a fence around the property and called the cops. He tried to run, but the cops caught him, and the man admitted that he put a towel over the barbed wire fence around the Goodwill and climbed over it, which is a little funny. It seems a little excessive to put barbed wire fence around a Goodwill. This is a bunch of, you know, musky clothes and mugs with messages about being over the hill on them, but whatever reason, they had a barbed wire on them. The guy told the cops when they caught up with him that he robbed the Goodwill because, quote, he was feeling stressed. He was charged with burglary, trespassing, and resisting arrest. And there's no word on what he took. So what's interesting about this to me is he was stealing stuff from Goodwill. He didn't break into the cash registers and take a bunch of cash, which I think actually if you're going for would make sense at a Goodwill. Because I bet more people use cash at Goodwill than they would at other stores, as the clientele tends to be. And I go to Goodwill, so don't think I'm judging. But the clientele tends to be maybe not as open to having a checking account. And they might use cash more, is what I'm saying. But I find this guy to be incredibly sympathetic. I mean, I've never been so stressed out that I've needed to rob a Goodwill. But I like the fact that he was like, hey, it's a place where I know they have stuff I like. It's the only thing that would make the story better is if he was like going into the Goodwill and taking his own stuff back. like his wife kicked him out of the house and he's like, oh, man, where are my clothes? Oh, that's right. We donated them. Just go to the Goodwill and get them back. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I've stolen very few things in my life, but I did once steal a pair of underwear from a Salvation Army. And I'm not proud of that. But I was dared to do it. It wasn't out of necessity. It was for an even worse reason. It was because my dumb friends thought it would be funny. Hey, Max, we were just talking about Facebook. I'm going to ask you a question. Quiz you real quick.
Give it to me.
How many people are on Facebook?
In the world?
Yeah, in the world.
I'm seeing there's 7 billion people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably close to 2 billion are on Facebook.
Oh, you're so close. Whoa. But you're off by a billion. It's actually 2.95 billion, so close enough to 3 billion that I'll say it's 3 billion. Now, here's the important question here. Has that number increased or decreased since last year?
Hmm. Decreased.
It has actually gone up. They even though people like you are quitting Facebook, and even though it's the old people's social media, it's basically a retirement home for racists. even though a lot of people deride it, it is still increasing in users. Last year, it had 2.91 billion. And this year is 2.95. So not by a lot. And the increase is getting...
No, that's just the bots.
Right. Yeah, and it's fair to say that it could just be Zuckerberg inflating it so it doesn't look bad. It's the smallest increase they've ever had because it's only, you know, 400 million people signed up over the last year, whereas usually they have upwards of 20 to 100 million people. In fact, the increase from 2012... to 2017 was 1 billion people. That's insane. It's insane to think that many people use anything. Like, it'd be insane to think that, right, that 3 billion people have toilets in their house. I bet that's not even true. I'm not going to look that up, but I bet more people use Facebook than have indoor plumbing.
Yeah. Yeah, across the world, because I agree with that.
And in some countries, they actually refer to Facebook as the internet. That's all they have. It's almost like how AOL was back in the day, which you're probably too young to remember. But it used to be you just had AOL. You didn't have the internet. You just had America Online, and that was everything.
I remember those free trial discs.
Oh, they were amazing. And the dial-up, and then when you finally got connected, you felt so good about yourself.
And you'd go to the magazine section at grocery stores and take them out of the magazines.
Wait, hold on. Are you saying you used to steal the free trial disc from AOL while the rest of us were like, what am I going to do with all these free trial discs that I don't need? They keep sending them to me and I don't need anymore.
No, I'm not saying I did, but I know it happened.
All right. Coming up next on Cairo Nights, we're going to talk about how New York City is sinking into the ocean. I always thought it was California that was going to fall in the ocean, but apparently it's New York City, and it's already happening. So that's next on Cairo Nights. Hopefully none of you are listening from New York, because you won't be listening very long. I screwed up earlier. Hi, my name's Jonathan. It's Cairo Nights. I screwed up earlier, and I said, hey, text in with your favorite cars from movies or TV shows, and several of you did, and I dropped the ball by not mentioning. So here's something that people wrote in. I have a bunch of favorites as far as movie or TV cars. I would narrow it down to the General Lee, though. It's problematic these days, but okay. I mean, I guess it was a cool car. I don't know much about cars, so I guess it was cool. It played Dixie when they hit the horn, and they could ramp it over things every single episode. I think if it was made, they should have a General Grant car that faces off with the General Lee and just destroys it, like, almost immediately through attrition. It just destroys the General Lee. That would be kind of awesome. Mad Max's Interceptor, that's a great one. Kit from Knight Rider, so that's somebody who agrees with you there, Max.
Well, that's not my favorite.
And that's not your favorite?
No, the Mystery Machine.
What's your favorite?
Love.
The Mystery Machine that's on there too. Somebody else has said Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
Good taste.
Just the idea of a bunch of kids in a van instead of the opposite, somebody trying to lure kids into a van is nice. I think that's wholesome. I think it's something we can all appreciate. A bunch of kids and their dogs going around solving crimes. And I say dogs because it's Scooby and Scrappy. Don't forget, mm-hmm. They're both in there. Yeah. Did you watch any of that Velma
clips?
Cartoon?
I never got through a full episode. I saw what I needed to, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it, so I just decided not to.
That was it. I didn't watch any of it. I didn't even watch clips. I just heard from everybody how terrible it was, and I believed them. I've realized this about me. I am much, much more likely to believe people when they say that something sucks than if they say something's good. And the reason why is because I have a limited capacity for appreciation. As I get older, it becomes even more limited, where I'm just like, I don't think I have time to sit down and watch that show. So does it suck? Oh, thank God. Now I don't have to even think about it. You know, like, I used to be my teenager, and I used to be the first ones. We'd go to the midnight screenings for every Marvel movie. We loved it. We went to the midnight screening for Infinity War, Endgame, all the Spider-Man movies. We, as a family, we went to see the first Ant-Man movie, and when the new Ant-Man movie came out, we didn't even think about going. We were just like, I'm done with this, aren't you? Yeah, I'm done. We saw the Guardians of the Galaxy movie this weekend. We waited a week until everybody said, no, it's really good. And then I was like, okay, I guess we'll go check it out. But if people had said it sucked, I would be like, we're not going to go see that. It's apparently terrible. That's just how
but what do critics
far
know?
Down I've slid. I don't even care about critics. I'm more going by word of mouth from other people.
Well, what do they know?
If they've seen the movie, they know enough to warn me about it and tell me to stay away. Don't waste your money on it. I don't know. What was the last movie you went to, Max?
Went to? God, couldn't tell you, honestly.
Yeah, right. See, that's the problem, too. Especially if you have a family, it's really tough. Because it's like, it has to be a good movie. That's why people, like, you were kind of dismissive of the critics there. That's why critics are important. To make sure that you don't waste money. Because if I take my entire family to a movie, that's $50 on tickets alone. Mm-hmm. Tickets alone. Mm-hmm. $50. Not to factor in the popcorn and the candy. And, you know, I have to get drunk because I'm there with my family. All that stuff is so expensive now. Hey, speaking of money, Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers are going to pay their staffs personally. As you know, the writer strike is going on right now, and they've just reached the point where they aren't making like any money at all from the WGA. So Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon have now promised that they are going to be paying their writers who are not currently working. And I think that's great. What I don't think is great is last night I saw a ton of people saying that Seth Meyers and a bunch of other hosts were doing this, but Jimmy Fallon was not. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a huge Jimmy Fallon fan. In fact, I kind of can't stand him. I don't like the aggressive way that he laughs at everything. I don't like the fact that he doesn't just have interviews anymore. He, like, if you're a guest on his show, it means that you have to play a freaking game of adult double dare with him. I'm not a fan of that. You know, my wife loves him. That's fine. I hated him on SNL. I don't like his talk show. But I don't think he's a bad person. And what drives me crazy, and maybe I'm just speaking to this personally because this happens to me all the time too, is just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean that they are a bad person. Just because you don't like, especially you don't like their output. Like, if it's possible to think that somebody is annoying or sucks as a person, but isn't like evil, isn't always taking advantage of other people. They're just kind of crappy. And that's kind of how I feel about Jimmy Fallon. I think we've lost that ability.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way about Woody Harrelson. He's like a vegan, and he's very democratic, but the nicest guy on the earth.
Woody Harrelson is supposedly very nice, but he's also like anti-vax or something. Like, okay, fine. So that means that you agree with him on 90% of things, and there's just this one thing that you disagree with him on. Maybe sit down and talk to him about it if you think that he's wrong. Sit down and talk to him. Tell him, hey, Woody, I think you're wrong about this. He probably won't listen to you because he knows that you're poisoned by vaccines. He knows it's the magnets in your system telling you to say those things, and they're not true. I'm trying to think. In my career in radio, I've met a lot of celebrities, and obviously you're not meeting them under the circumstances where they wouldn't be nice, usually because they're on tour, they want to be nice so that people will go to their shows. But there have only been a handful that have even come off as remotely kind of jerky. I hate to say it, the biggest one was Bob Costas. Bob Costas and I got into a fight. I'm not going to go into it right now. I don't have time to talk about it. But he and I have beef. And Bob, I know you're listening. Big fan.
Big
you
fan.
You know that. Big fan. Big fan of the show. But yeah. The worst is meeting celebrities that you actually like. So here's a little secret about me that I'm going to tell because it's almost the end of the show and it's 12:40 on the East Coast. I did country radio and country music for years in Boston, and I don't like country music. I don't. And they knew that when they hired me. They were like, we don't care if you like the music or not. It's fine. And I was like, oh, okay. They're like, we just want you to do a show. Just have fun. Here's a bunch of money. Go do your show. That was literally it. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. I'm going to do that then. So it was really easy for me to do interviews with people like, you know, Kenny Chesney or Garth Brooks or whatever, because I was like, not intimidated by it. Like, I'm not a big fan of the music anyway, so whatever. I met Dave Grohl one time in a hallway at a music station, and I almost peed my pants. It's so much tougher to deal with people that you like. It is so much tougher. And I guess I'm saying all of this to say that most people are nice. Most people are good. Even celebrities, even people who've had everything handed to them, or people who have worked really hard for that and maybe look down on the rest of us. Maybe some people got breaks that you didn't get. Doesn't mean that they're bad. And I will tell you, a lot of times, it is because they work harder. They just don't want to admit that. Because for some reason in our society, you should chalk it all up to luck. I saw a thing where Bo Burnham, who's an artist that I like a lot, was saying, hey, don't try to be the next me, because I just got lucky. No, he didn't. Bo Burnham works constantly on his music and his stand-up. Constantly. There's a reason people are successful. And there's a reason that some people just don't make it. And a lot of times, Maybe it is how they look. And a lot of times, maybe it is luck. But overall, you don't get there unless you work really, really hard. Unless you're Bob Costas, and then you don't deserve anything. Okay, Bob? It's Cairo Nights. Cairo Nights. How you doing? My name's Jonathan Weir. Thanks for making this a part of your evening. Happy Thursday. Almost done. You just got Friday to go. That's awesome. I want to talk about this, a personal issue that I have, and I am a bit of a moral hypochondriac where I'm not sure if the things that I'm doing are horrible or just things that anybody would do, but for some reason I position myself in a way that makes me feel bad about them. Yesterday, before the show, I walked up to a gas station near me, and it was closed because I live in New England, and for some reason in New England, people just decide, we're a gas station? Yeah, we're not going to be open to regular hours. We're going to close at 8 p.m., and they did. So I went to this gas station across the street from me, which I never go to because it's gross. I'm not trying to shame them. I'm not trying to say anything bad about them. I'm just telling you the truth. It is a cesspool. It smells like gasoline inside of the gas store, which is probably not optimal. On top of that, the light in the place is very much like, if you had to describe it accurately, you'd call it dungeon lighting, where it's flickering and, you know like in, if you've ever seen a Nightmare on Elm Street movie where you could tell that Freddy was in control of the dream based on the lighting, it's that kind of lighting. It's kind of terrifying. And I really wanted a Butterfinger candy bar. I had a craving for it. So I go up to the counter, grab a Butterfinger, put it on the counter. And the guy behind the counter has got a mask on, which is fine. That's great. Awesome. Good. I wouldn't be able to breathe and just raw dog the air in the middle of that gas station either if I were him. But he's wearing the mask. And before he grabs my candy bar to scan it so I can pay for it, he pulls the mask down and sneezes. He pulled his mask down and sneezed. Because you wouldn't want all those germs inside of your mask. You need to spread them around on everybody. So he sneezes, and then he wipes his nose with his hand. Not handkerchief, but a hand. And then he grabs the Butterfinger bar, scans it, and goes, that'll be $2.50. And I'm like, too nice to say anything? Like, hey, you got snot all over my Butterfinger? So I just go, okay. And I paid for it. And here's the moral quandary I have. He handed it back to me, and I pulled it off the counter by its corner and dropped it on the floor and then put it back with the other Butterfingers and switched it out with one that had not been sneezed on. So that is my moral quandary.
I think you would have done that in 2019, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to think. Like, am I going to be responsible for spreading COVID 2023 around? Because
you didn't take the hit.
I didn't take the hit. I left it for some other unsuspecting person to take. And granted, it's more on the disgusting cashier for spreading his, you know, nose phlegm all over the place. But at the same time, I feel partially responsible. Because the next person is going to grab that and not know why it looks like the card catalog at the beginning of Ghostbusters, you know? So I don't know. Did I do the wrong thing there, or was it just kind of eh?
I think it's down the line, right in the middle. I think a lot of people would have done what you did, and I don't think anyone's going to shame you for what you did.
I kind of wish they would. I get off on that. But here's the thing. I actually think that most people in my situation would have probably done one or two things. Either told the guy, dude, you sneezed and then wiped your hand across your nose and then grabbed the, I'm not taking that Butterfinger, I'm getting a different one. And we just wouldn't have said anything. Or wouldn't have done what I did and whatever. They would have told the guy off. Or they would have just taken it, put it in their pocket, and then thrown it away or never said anything to the guy.
You were in the East Coast. That's a very East Coast thing to do, is to just be like, yo, man, what's this?
And yeah, especially Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what? You friggin' sneezed all over my Butterfinger, you jerk. Yeah. We should take you out to Lexington Square and hang you by the Minuteman statue is what we should do. But I didn't do any of that. I just went, ugh, and replaced the Butterfinger. And now I feel bad because people are going to get sick because of what I did. And I don't know. Not that I'm being hard on myself. I just think I need to be to make sure that I don't go down a dark path. If I don't hold myself in check and feel guilty about everything I do, the world of evil will just unfurl before me like a red carpet. And I'll march down it right into oblivion. And that is what I worry about.
But was the Butterfinger good?
Did it hit it was spot? Great. Oh, my God. It hit the spot, mostly because it wasn't covered in snot. That's not when the Simpsons do those commercials. They don't talk about how much better it tastes if it gets covered in snot. I'd assume that would be a negative thing for most people. For most people, not everybody. I'm not judging you. We don't kink shame on the show. Well, Max, I just want to tell you, you did a fantastic job tonight.
I appreciate it. You did a really good job yourself.
I thank you. I need that validation and appreciation from somebody. Somebody for once. So we'll be back tomorrow. Well, I'll be back tomorrow. Max will be in occasionally, I'm assuming. It's Cairo Nights. Bye.